Welcome to the Ames International School of Ministry podcast with your host and instructor, Pastor Vince Rizzo. And now with today's lesson, here's Pastor Vince.
Welcome back. Today we're going to be dealing with chapter number 16, which is entitled The Battle with the Tongue. And our objectives are this. Upon completion of this chapter, you're going to be able to write the key verse from memory. You'll be able to identify the tongue as an important battleground of spiritual warfare. You'll be able to summarize strategies that Satan uses to control the tongue and summarize spiritual counter strategies for victory over the tongue. Our key verse today is found in the book of James, chapter 3, verse 8. It says, "But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison." Introduction. In the previous chapter, you studied one of the main battlefields of spiritual warfare, and that's the battle of the mind. What happens in the mind affects the tongue, and the tongue affects the spirit, soul, and heart, and body. This chapter concerns another major area of spiritual warfare, and it is the battle with the tongue. So, what the Bible says about the tongue. Before you examine Satan's strategies for control of the tongue, read what the Bible says about the tongue in James 3, 1 through 13. These verses reveal that although the tongue is a little member of your body, it is very powerful, and through the tongue the whole body can be defiled. The tongue can never be tamed by man. Only when you yield your tongue to God can God's control be maintained over it. But even then, it will never be tamed. You can never relax your guard over your tongue, believing you have totally conquered it. The Bible compares the tongue to, first off, in James 3:5, it's compared to a fire. In Proverbs 16:27, it's a burning fire. In James 3:6, it's called a world of iniquity. In James 3:7-8, it says, a beast that needs taming. In James 3:11, it says, a fountain of either fresh or bitter waters. In James 3:12, it's a tree bearing either good or evil fruit. In James 3:8, it's an unruly evil. In James 3:8, it's also called a deadly poison. In Psalms 52:2, it's called a sharp razor. In Psalms 57:4 and 59:7, it's called a sharp sword. And in Psalms 140, verse 3, it's called a poisonous serpent. And lastly, in Proverbs 22:14, it's called a deep pit. So the Bible says the tongue is powerful because of the effect it has on others. The tongue actually has the power to bring death or life. Proverbs 18:21 says that death and life are in the power of the tongue. So the tongue is powerful because of the effect it has on you. You could snare yourself with your own words. In fact, Proverbs 6:2 says, "Thou art snared with the words of thy mouth, and thou art taken with the words of thy mouth." The tongue is powerful because your words can separate you from God. In Psalms 12:4, it says, "Who have said, with our tongue we will prevail? Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us?" Strategies of Satan, the battle for the tongue. Your tongue is closely related to your heart, body, soul, and spirit. For example, if Satan has control of your heart, he has control over your tongue. In Matthew, the 15th chapter, verses 18 through 20 says, "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile man." And in Luke chapter 6, verse 45, it says, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh." So Satan uses things that you say to cause a breach or an opening into your spirit. Proverbs 15:4 says, "A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit." So by evil communication, you can create a breach through which Satan enters to war against your spirit. Satan also uses your lips to affect your soul. In Proverbs 18:7, it says, "A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul." And in Proverbs 21:23, it says, "Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles." So through the tongue, Satan affects your body. In James 3:6, it says, "And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on hell, the fire of hell." So your tongue affects your whole life. Proverbs 13:3 says, "He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction." Satan seeks to control your tongue by tempting you to speak. Covetous words. "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee." And that's Hebrews 13:5. We also have idle words. "But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment." And that's Matthew 12:36. Another, foolish words. Proverbs 15:4 says, "The heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness." 2 Timothy 2:14 says, "Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers." Fables and commandments of men. Titus chapter 1 verse 14 says, "Not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth." Evil about things you do not know. In 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 12 it says, "But these speak evil of those things which they do not know. But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption." We have flattering words. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 5, it says, "For neither at any time use we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness. God is witness." Enticing words. Colossians 2:4 says, "And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words." Murmuring, complaining, and boasting words. In the book of Jude chapter 16, it says, "And these are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their own mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage." In 2 Peter 2:8 it says, "For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they lure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escape from them who live in error." Vain words. "They speak vanity every one with his neighbor." Psalms 12:2. Proud words. Psalm 17:10 says, "With their mouth they speak proudly." Boastful words. In Psalms 94:4, it says, "How long shall they utter and speak hard things, and all the workers of iniquity boast themselves?" Words which takes God's name in vain. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 7, it says, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain." Cursing and bitter words. Romans 3:14, "Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness." Lies. Psalms 58:3 says, "The wicked are entangled from the womb. They go astray as soon as they are born, speaking lies." And Psalms 31:18 says, "Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous." Slandering words. "Thou sitteth and speaketh against thy brother, thou slanderest thine own mother's son." Psalms 50:20. Malicious words against others. In 3 John chapter 10, it says, "Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deed which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words." Whispering words, which would be gossip. Proverbs 16:28 says, "A froward man soweth strife, and is a whisperer separating chief friends." Tale-bearing words. Proverbs 11:13 says, "A tale-bearer revealeth secrets, but that he is a faithful spirit concealeth the matter." Backbiting words. Psalms 15:3 says, "He that backbiteth not with his tongue." Dissembling words. Dissembling words cause division. In Proverbs 26:4 says, "He that dissembleth with lips and layeth up deceit within him." Contentious words. Proverbs 18:6 says, "A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes." Words of strife. In Psalms 31:20 it says, "Thou shalt hide them in secret of thy presence from pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues." Words of discord. In Proverbs 6:19 it says, "He that soweth discord among the brethren." Devouring words. In Psalms 52:4 it says, "Thou lovest all devouring words, O thou deceitful tongue." Froward and perverse words. Proverbs 4:24 says, "Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips from thee." Evil and deceitful words. Psalms 50:19 says, "Thou givest thy mouth to evil, and thy tongue frameth deceit." And in Psalms 140:11 it says, "Let not an evil speaker be established in the earth." Mischievous words. Psalms 38:12 says, "They also that seek after my life lay snares for me, and they that seek my hurt speak mischievous things and imagine deceits all the day long." Filthy words. In Colossians 3:8 it says, "But now ye put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth." Spiritual counter-strategies, victory over your tongue. When David realized the great battle with his tongue, he cried out in Psalms 123, "What shall be given unto thee, or what shall be done unto thee, thou false tongue?" The only way to win the battle with the tongue is by application of spiritual counter-strategies given in God's Word. The first thing you need to do is get your heart right with God. The first step in gaining victory over the tongue is to get your heart right with God. And we find that in Matthew 15:18-20, it says, "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are things which defile a man." So your mouth will speak what is in your heart. And if your heart is not right, your tongue will reveal it. Use your tongue to get your heart right with God. And we could do that by the example of Romans 10:9-10. It says, "But if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." So we also need to recognize your responsibility. Recognize that you will be held responsible for the words that come out of your mouth on the day of judgment. And it says, "But I say unto you that every word that man speaketh, he shall give account thereof on the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." That's Matthew 12:36-37. And then in Luke 9:22 it says, He saith unto him, "Out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant." So we also need to realize that your words reflect the gospel. As long as you believe your tongue is not important, you will not gain control over it. You must realize that your conversation reflects on the gospel of Jesus. In Philippians 1:22, it says, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ." Because of this, you should set a good example by your conversation. In 1 Timothy 4:12, it says, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in clarity, in charity, in spirit, and in faith, and in purity." What comes out of your mouth is noted by the heathen. In Psalms 126:2, it says, "Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them." You can actually win others to the Lord Jesus Christ by your conversation. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 2, it says, "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husband, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear." Keep your words few and simple. "In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise." Proverbs 10:19. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 37, it says, "But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than this comes forth evil." Think before you speak. "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath." That's James chapter 1, verse 19. In Proverbs 30:32, it says, "If thou hast done foolishly in lifting up thyself, or if thou hast thought evil, let thine hand upon thy mouth." Proverbs 15:28 says, "The heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things." Proverbs 17:28 says, "Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise, and he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding." So we also need to learn to separate ourselves. Separate yourself from those who cannot control their tongue. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 7 says, "Go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge." Learn the power of peaceful words. Proverbs 25:15 says, "Be long forbearing is the prince persuaded, and in the soft tongue breaketh the bone." Recognize the fact that your tongue is a weapon. Your tongue is a weapon, and you can use it to overcome the enemy instead of being defeated by him. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, it says, "And they overcome him, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony." If you control your tongue, it will put to shame those who falsely accuse you. In 1 Peter 3:16, it says, "Having a good conscience, that whereof they speak evil of you, as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ." Take over your tongue. With God's help, you can control the tongue, but you must take action to control your own tongue, and the following verses indicate action from you. In 1 Peter 3:10, it says, "For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that speak no guile." Titus 3:2 says, "Speak evil of no man." In James chapter 4, verses 11 through 12, it says, "Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art a doer of the law, but a judge. There is not one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgeth another?" In Hebrews 13:5, it says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have." In Philippians 1:27, it says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. And in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 through 25, it says, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, every man speak truth with his neighbor. In Colossians 3, it says, but now ye also put off filthy communication out of your mouth. Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. In 1 Peter 1:15-16, it says, let all evil speaking be put away from you. Be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. In Proverbs 4:24, it says, put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. In Psalms 34:13, it says, keep thy tongue from evil, and thy lips from speaking guile. And then in Psalms 39:1, it says, I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. Psalms 50 verse 23 says, whosoever offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. In Exodus chapter 20 verse 7 it says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. And in Exodus chapter 20, verse 16, it says, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. So we want to pattern our conversation after Jesus. Jesus spoke gracious words. We find that in Luke 4:22, and it says, and all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? He spoke words of authority. In Mark chapter 1, verse 22, it says, and they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. There was no guile or sinful speaking found in his mouth. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 22 through 23, it says, who did not sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. So you want to use your tongue for good. You want to speak the words of wisdom and of kindness. Proverbs 31:26 says, she opened her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. And in Psalms 49:3 says, my mouth shall speak of wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be understanding. We want to talk about God. In Psalms 145:5, it says, I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and thy wondrous works. In Psalm 71:15, it says, my mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day. And in Psalm 71:24, it says, my tongue also shall talk of the righteousness all day long. We want to speak God's word. In Psalms 119:172, it says, my tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. In Psalms 119:13, it says, with the lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. And in Psalms 119:46, it says, I will speak of thy enemies also before kings, and will not be ashamed. You want to speak the words of comfort from God's word. In 1 Thessalonians 4:18, it says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. You want to speak of the kingdom of God. In Psalms 145:11, it says, they shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power. We want to let your lips be filled with the praises of God. Psalms 145:21 says, "My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever." In Psalms 149:6, it says, "Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand." In Psalms 89:1, it says, "I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever with my mouth, while I make known thy faithfulness to all generations." In Psalms 109:30, it says, "I will greatly praise the Lord with my mouth, yea, I will praise him among the multitude." In Psalms 119:171, it says, "My lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes." In Psalm 63:3, it says, "Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. And thy mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips." Psalm 63:5. In Psalm 66:17, it says, "I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue." In Psalm 71:8, it says, "Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all day." In Psalm 71:23, it says, "My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, and my soul which thou hast redeemed." And in Psalms 34:1, it says, "And I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." So before you speak, you need to ask these questions. One, what I'm about to speak or say, is it going to bring glory to God? And whatever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. And that's found in Colossians 3:17. Two, is it the truth? Three, is it fair to be concerned, to all concerned? Four, will it be beneficial to all concerned? Five, will it edify others and result in good will and better friendships? Six, if you're talking about another person, have you said the same things to him or her? Seven, do you know that what you are saying is fact and that you have arrived, or have you arrived at your own conclusion after hearing rumors? Eight, if you have something against your brother or sister, have you attempted to be reconciled to them before discussing with others? And nine, is it absolutely necessary that you say this? So in thinking these over, you want to remember these verses. Psalms 139:4, it says, "For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether." Proverbs 16:21 says, "The sweetness of thy lips increaseth learning." And in Proverbs 16:23 says, "The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth and addeth learning to his lips." And in Proverbs 15:23 it says, "A man hath joy by the answers of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good is it." In 2 Peter 3:11 it says, "Seeing that in all things ye shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye be in holy conversation and godliness?" In Proverbs 25:11 it says, "A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver." Proverbs 21:23 says, "Whosoever keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles." And in Proverbs 13:3 says, "He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction." So you want to claim these promises. In Proverbs 8:6-8 it says, "Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are righteousness. There is nothing forward or perverse in them." You want to pray these two prayers. Psalms 141:3 says, "Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth, and keep the door of my lips. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." That's Psalms 119:14. "Establish this purpose: thou hast proved mine heart, thou hast visited me in the night, Thou hast tried me, and shall find nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. That's Psalm 17:3. I hope you enjoyed the lesson. Go ahead and join me with the next lesson.
Thanks for listening to today's lesson. Sign up today and download your free digital lesson books when you join our free or low-cost accredited studies. For more information, visit us online at www.freebiblecollege.com.